Shall we pray? Our most kind, loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning, Heavenly Father, to show our thanks, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for all thy blessings you have provided. All that we see before us, Heavenly Father. We're thankful for giving us the gift of life. We know it was you that rise us from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, allowing us this opportunity to come together in this worship service unto you. We're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for your continued guidance, your comfort, during our times of need, the joy that you provide us, the happiness that you show us each and every day, Heavenly Father, giving us the strength, giving us the will to go out and to live in this world. For we know that we face so many difficulties, Heavenly Father, and we know that by coming to you, Heavenly Father, coming to you in prayer that you can get us through any obstacles that we may face in this life, Heavenly Father. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that continue to wrap your arms around this world, Heavenly Father, with thy loving arms. We know that there's times that we do not deserve all thy blessings, Heavenly Father, but you continue to love us unconditionally, Heavenly Father. You continue to pull us up when we are down, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful and grateful unto you for that. And we pray that you continue to be with this world, Heavenly Father, as we have seen this past year and a half trying to navigate through this pandemic, Heavenly Father. And we were seeing signs of things improving, Heavenly Father, but as we have seen, we know that we have a ways to go. We know about this Delta variant, Heavenly Father. We just pray that people will still take the measures to protect one another, to love one another, to look out for each other, Heavenly Father. We know this world has a long way to go, and just showing the love that you show us, we know that we have a ways to go before we can follow that shining example, to just look out for each other, to care for each and everyone that we live amongst, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with those that were mentioned sick. We had an extensive list, Heavenly Father. Our sister Bowen, our sister Abney, sister Calcutt, brother Gatewood, James Baldwin, just to name a few, Heavenly Father, but just all those that were mentioned. We pray that you will that you will be with them, that you will comfort them, that they will have their needs met so that they can be returned to their much-wanted health. We know how important our health is to us, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that everyone that is not feeling well, that they will be able to get well again, Heavenly Father. I also pray that you will be with our brother Skippy, Heavenly Father, as he has prepared his lesson. Pray that we will give him our much undivided attention, that we will take that which he is about to share with us this morning, Heavenly Father, that we can use what we learned, Heavenly Father, apply it to our daily lives so that we may continue to become better Christians, Heavenly Father, to become better people. I also pray that you will be with the leaders of this congregation. We're so thankful to them for keeping this congregation safe, attending to the needs of this building, as they keep us updated every week, Heavenly Father, as they monitor the situations. And we're just so thankful for the work that they put into to all of that. So thankful for everyone that volunteers each and every Sunday morning, Heavenly Father, to make sure that we are staying safe and that we are following the guidelines. We're so thankful unto everyone for that. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will just watch over us as we begin this new week, as we face different challenges, Heavenly Father, that you continue to watch over us, to just guide us so that we may do everything in accordance to thy will. We pray for all these things in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
When we meet this week. time to clear our heads, time to transfer our thoughts to that upper room now, where Christ broke the bread, fed it to the disciples, and said, "Do this in my memory." He also poured the wine, said the sup, "For this is my blood, this do in my memory." And as he did so, he made this an ongoing feast, a communion that we can do each first day of the week. We do this because not only it's a commandment, but because it's a blessing. We get to commune with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our time to be with him and his thoughts and how he gave us salvation, for we are indeed a redeemed people. Let's bow in prayer and thank him for the opportunity to be able to commune with him now as we thank him for the bread. Father, we thank you that we're able to gather together as a family, that we're able to remember the wonderful sacrifice that you gave, that we might be able to be with you, to be able to commune with you, to be able to share in the blessings that you indeed have given us, for our cup indeed overflows. Father, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds for the feast that we're about to partake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. O kind and merciful Father, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, thanking you ever so much for his precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For it is in his name we give you honor, praise, and glory. Amen.
This concludes the Lord's Supper. If anyone has been overlooked at this time, please raise your hand and we will serve you right away. I do not see any hands. We also have the opportunity to be able to give back to our Lord Jesus Christ a portion of what he's given to us. But what we give is such a small portion to what we've been blessed with. But it's a signal of our love to him. For we want to give from our hearts with cheerfulness and with love. So at this time, look into your hearts, decide what you want to give back to him as we go to him and thank him for the blessings that we have. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that we're able to have the jobs that we have. We thank you that we have been blessed as we have. Father, we thank you that we have such great eldership and a deacon and a great family who are very talented in different areas. Father, we have so many blessings that we are thankful for. We know that if we use our talents, you increase those talents each and every time. Father, as we give back to you now, look into our hearts and let us give back to you in a willing and cheerful way. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
That hymn, if you would please, turn to hymn number 4, the supplemental hymn book, number 4. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn. I'll ask all those who need to stand to please stand at this time. Number 4.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary through the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on. Through him I must win, and we sing, oh, I want to see
with Scripture reading will be coming from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. That's 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Now, Brother Skippy.
Good morning. Surely God has blessed us once again to be able to assemble ourselves together on this morning to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning. Just if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. I just want to continue to ask this congregation to work along with our leaders, pray for our leaders. They have a job, a hard job to do, and they're trying to do what's right. They're trying to make the right decisions, the wise decisions, what's best for this congregation. And so, especially during these trying times, and you ought to thank God that we have men that care for the health, care for the safety of this congregation, because there is a congregation in Mount Julia, Tennessee. The preacher told their congregation that if anyone show up with a mask, that they will be turned away. And so they can't even worship God. And so let's just pray for this world, because we're living in some tough times. We're living in some evil times. There are a lot of evil that's going on in our world today. It's a lot of hatred that's going on in our world today. Road rage. Every time you turn on the TV, road rage. Somebody's shooting somebody because they was going too slow. They didn't get out of the way, or they didn't signal. Let's just pray for this world. That we know that God is in control. Let's do what we can to encourage one another and encourage the leaders here at this congregation. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise Eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, thank you for your blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Lord, just thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How to handle the negative in your life. It seems like that every time that you turn on your television, you go to social media, it has to do with something negative. Negative people. And one thing about negativity is that negativity reflects what's going on inside of the person. If you want to know the condition of your heart, listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Negativity chooses your friends for you. Negativity will draw negativity. You know the saying, the birds of a feather flock together. If you want to know the type of person you are, look at who you hang around with. If you hang around with negative too long, it'll have an effect upon you. And so, what do I mean by someone who is negative? In other words, what do they act like? Instead of being cheerful, instead of being bright and happy, they are gloomy. They are dark and depressed. And I think each of us, from time to time, can be negative. And it's okay to have a bad day every once in a while. And I think that we are entitled sometime to that. But if negativity is where you live the most of your life, then I got some news for you. Today's sermon is exactly what you need to hear. And since we are all prone to negativity, the question is not how to avoid negativity, but how to handle negativity when it comes. And so today we're going to look at the life of Elijah. We're going to learn from this great mouthpiece of God about negativity. And what I love about this count in Elijah's life in 1 Kings chapter 19 is that if this godly-minded person faced a period in his life that was not so good, when negativity got the better of him, the chances are it can get the better of us. When we look at this story, if you understand this story, it happened right after the mountaintop experience that took place in chapter 18 at Mount Carmel. Something happened to Elijah. Something about Elijah changed. His attitude turned very negative. So the question comes, what causes us to be negative, grumpy, grouchy? Well, there are four things that led to the negativity of Elijah. And there are four things that will lead us to negativity. Number one, we need to understand when we focus our feelings on our feelings rather than our facts. In other words, again, we focus on our feelings rather than on our facts. Look at verse 3 and 4. In verse 3 and 4, he says, "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" This happened because of Jezebel. And Jezebel has sent a messenger unto Elijah. And I want you to know that if you look at this particular text, you can see what happened to Elijah. The king's wife Jezebel didn't like what Elijah just did, so she sent messengers with a threat that she would kill Elijah. Now, I want you to understand, why is that? Because in verse 3 we see that Elijah, he was afraid and he ran for his life. Because Elijah was feeling scared, he ran away to a place that he felt safe. But what were the facts? What were the facts here that Elijah missed? There are two facts here that Elijah missed. Number one is that Jezebel wasn't going to kill Elijah. Well, how do you know that? Because, see, this was an empty threat. Now, how I know that is the fact that if you are going to kill someone, would you send a messenger to tell them? No, you would send an assassin. And so, number one, that was fact number one. But then fact number two is that he failed to realize that God is more powerful than than Jezebel. Now watch this. Instead of Elijah focusing on the facts, Elijah let his feelings get the best of him, and negativity set in. How frequently do you let your feelings cloud what is true? How frequently do you let something be in control that was never meant to be in control? And so if you're feeling negative, know someone who is, remember this: you focus on the facts and not your feelings. But then secondly, we see here that we compare ourselves with others. Look at verse 4. Again in verse number 4. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down on a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough now, Lord. Oh Lord, take away my life. Here it is. For I am not better than my father.'" He is comparing himself with somebody else. Listen to me. Nothing will sour your attitude more quickly than comparing yourself with somebody else. Elijah makes his complaint to God. "I've had enough," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Well, let me ask you a question. Why do we compare? Many times we compare with somebody else because we are unhappy, we are dissatisfied with something about ourselves or our lives. And until you are content with the person God made you to be, with the blessings God have given you personally in your life, you will always be comparing yourself to somebody else. And so then thirdly, we falsely blame ourselves. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now notice what's happening. Elijah is blaming himself for failing to change the nation. And he took that quite personally. What he needed to remember was that he cannot make the choice for his people. God has given everyone the opportunity to choose for themselves. And Elijah's people had chosen. And so, even though it was a poor choice, they still chose. Let me tell you this morning, you can't control people and the choices they make. I know a lot of heartbroken parents who have children who are grown, and they are not living the way they would like their children to live. And they falsely blame themselves. You gotta understand, if they are adults and they are making their own choices in life. And if you have done all that you can do, and all you can do is to turn it over to God, pray that they will do what's right. Pray that they will make the right choices. Don't ever sit up there and blame yourself if you've done all that you can do. Yes, we got some children that have left the Lord, but they have made their choice. We talk to them, we pray for them. They got to make that decision to go back to the Lord. Them say, but I'm not going to sit up there and blame myself. We've done all that we can do. And that's all we can do. We pray for them. And so Elijah, he's falsely blaming himself. But they made that choice. But then the fourth thing that we understand is that we exaggerate the negative. Look at again. Because what Elijah did, in verse 10, what Elijah did was Elijah turned a molehill into a mountain. Now you see that? Because Elijah, in his complaint to God, he grossly exaggerated the negative. Look what he says. Look at verse 10 again. He says, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain the prophets, which was the sword. But watch what he says. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Did you notice that? I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's left. Everybody else has forsaken, but Lord, I'm the only one. And now they're trying to take my life. But we know that this was an exaggeration. How do you know that? Look at verse 18. Because in verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. Did y'all get that? Elijah says, I'm the only one that's left. But the Lord said, no, you are not the only one that's left. Because guess what? I have left 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Now watch this. I've reserved 7,000 in Israel. They have not bowed. Church, there is a difference between 1 and 7,000. 6,999. Am I right? And so, now notice this. Usually things aren't as bad as what we make them out to be. Sometimes we exaggerate. Y'all want to say amen? We exaggerate. We make things seem as bad as they are. And so we need to understand, we tend to over-exaggerate the bad things in life, especially when we are tired. But God has a remedy. Thank God he has a remedy for a negative attitude that is also contained in this story. What is God's remedy? The first thing God says, remedy number one, is take care of your physical needs. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Did you notice this? Did you notice God's remedy? When he tells him to take care of your physical need, first of all, Elijah sleeps. Then Elijah gets up. He eats and drinks. Then Elijah sleeps. Then Elijah gets up and he eats some more. Negativity comes about when, if you are tired and depleted. So what do you need? Sometimes in life, we don't have sense enough to be still. We don't have sense enough to get somewhere and rest and relax. And so, because then you hear phrases, child, I'm so tired, I don't know what to do. Get somewhere and sit down. That's what he's telling him. Sometimes in life, you got to learn to be still and know who God is. Psalms 46 and verse number 10. And if you don't learn that lesson, if you don't learn how to get somewhere and be still, God will put you in a position to make you be still, to make you lie down and get some rest. And so we see God's remedy number one, take care of your physical needs. Remedy number two that he gives him is to give your frustrations to God. In verse 10, God allowed Elijah to tell him about his frustrations. And guess what? God allows us to tell him about the things that frustrated us, the things that we are going through each and every day. You see, I don't think the problem for most of us is telling God our problems, but the problem is we have is leaving the problem with God. We tell God our problem, and after we tell God our problem, if he don't solve it right now, we pick it right back up and we go on our way. And guess what? You still got that problem. You got to learn how to tell God your problems and leave them there. Because God is the God that can fix your problems and my problems at the same time. And so you take care of your physical needs, and then you give your frustration to God. And then finally, the third remedy that I see is that you get a renewed right perspective of God. Look at verse 11 and verse 12. And this lesson is yours. And he said, go forth and stand up on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I love these two verses that's recorded here. See, what Elijah needed was a fresh awareness of God. God showed up in a big way. And I have no doubt that Elijah viewed God differently from that day on. And I have no doubt this morning that there's somebody in here this morning that needs a renewed, right perspective of Almighty God. I wonder, and our awe of God is, maybe it's got a little dingy. Maybe it's got a little dull. Maybe it's gotten forgotten, but it needs to be awakened. It needs to be revitalized. And so, I leave you here with two questions that I want you to consider this morning. Number one, which of these points is more likely to cause negativity in your life? We focus on our feelings rather than facts. We compare ourselves with others. We falsely blame ourselves, or we exaggerate on the negative. But then the second question that I want you to consider this morning, which one of God's remedies do you need most in your life? Take care of your physical needs. Give your frustrations to God, or get a renewed, right perspective of God. This lesson is yours. We've seen how you handle the negative in your life. Maybe this morning, there's somebody has some negative in your life. There's somebody that's just going around there, you're not happy. You're sad all the time. Let me tell you something. Give it over to God. Because God says, come unto me, all your labor, and I heavy laden, and I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. The Lord says, I never leave you, nor forsake you. The Lord said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The Lord is telling us today that if it seems like you don't have no friends at all, it seems like you're the only one left, he said, I'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you're here, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to know Jesus is the answer for this old world today. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then the Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2 and verse 47. What church? The church that he set up on this rock I build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What church? The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. What church? The church that he's the savior of, he's the head of, he loved it, he's coming back for it, it's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Then you live faithfully unto them, you receive a crown of life. If you're here and a Christian, stand in need of prayer, stand in need to renew your commitment to God, whatever the case may be, don't put it off. Come right now, and we stand and sing the song of invitation, won't you come?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
For the congregation this morning, once again, we want to welcome all those that are here visiting with us. I don't believe that we had received any cards turned in, but I think that we do have a few that are here visiting with us, and we want you to know that you are honored guests, and we always just want to make sure that we extend that invitation to you to come back and worship the Lord here with us again. And we're happy that you could come out and take part in worshiping God here with us this morning. I have a few other announcements in addition to what our brother Baldwin just announced. Once again, for our COVID-19 safety guidelines, let's remember now that irrespective of vaccination status, we're all asked to wear masks in the building as a protectant against the Delta variant. So once again, irrespective or regardless of if you've been fully vaccinated or not, let's be sure that we wear a mask coming into the building here for worship. It was also mentioned this morning, September is a tentative target for resuming Wednesday night Bible class, but that might be subject to change as things progress here. But September is being targeted for the return of Wednesday night Bible study. Also, don't forget the list for the drive-by birthday party for our sister Brown is out in the foyer, so please be sure to stop by there if you plan on being a part of that drive-by. And then finally, as our brother Trey Freeman is going to dismiss us in prayer here momentarily, let's remember we keep on praying for all those that we had being sick, all those mentioned. We've got a lot of names that our brother Baldwin mentioned, as well as all those that we've got listed on our sick and prayer list. So let's be sure that we remember to keep on praying for each and every one as they stand in need. With that, our brother Trey dismisses in prayer. So if you can easily stand at this time, please stand and we'll be dismissed.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning to come together to learn about your word. We pray, Father, for the people who are sick, that they get back to their much-wanted health. We pray for the people who are going to have surgery here soon, be with the doctors and the patient as they go through that time, help them recover and heal properly. We also pray, Father, for the people who are traveling, that they get to their destination safely. Watch us, guide us, and keep us safe, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.